So what's gone on to the girls of today? I should say women of today, but they are behaving like girls, so I'm going to use the word girl. When I was accidentally pregnant at 21, let that baby continue because I had never intended to have any pregnancies, and we had sex on day 25 when I was premenstrual. I was using every natural contraception method possible. I knew I'd ovulated when I should. I had a very regular 28-day cycle. And we had sex on the morning of day 25 before we went to work because, I was about to bleed. I got up and none of what normally came out came out. There was no dribbling out of any semen. I thought that's interesting and carried on with my life. That night I got up and went to the toilet for the first time in my life. And the next night and the next night. And my period didn't come. And from there, I have a 42-year-old. So I was never going to go down this route. Because my mother was so broken at my birth that she was not a good mother. And that's why I'm doing what I'm doing.
You
Because.
talk about we mentioned before, like, girls being girls, and I think a lot of it comes from this legacy of what did start of when women stopped listening to their mothers. And my mum's a perfect example of that, where she had three cesareans and completely disempowered births. And when it came to, talking to me, she was it was
She
there
was
was no
broken.
belief that you could do it yourself, and that you could have a natural birth, and that you as a woman can do what you can do naturally and birth a baby and have a pregnancy without relying on hospitals, doctors, all these
There used to
things.
be childbirth education. It's gone. Now, look, my mother, it's not until we get a lot older. She's been dead a long time. My mother, back in 1954, found Dick Grantley Reid's book, whatever it is, Childbirth Without Fear. She kept it for me. She didn't have the birth she intended to have, but that set me on the trajectory that I'm on. And so, because it was a teaching hospital for 12 hours, I was left in second stage as the baby, whilst they had all of the different shifts of student doctors coming to check out this is what an obstructed labour looks like. And then they did the Keelan's rotation forceps. And I came out black and blue, apparently from lack of oxygen, with forceps masks. And then they put me over there where Mum had no way of getting to me with a sign saying, do not touch, for 3 days. This is why we've got the What Dads Can Do work and everything I've been doing,
That's
because
incredible.
I have got a bee in my bonnet about this because my mother spent all of my childhood telling me, guard your heart, that she wished she'd rolled over and smothered me as a baby, she wished she'd killed me. I had my whole childhood of that. Okay, now I was a very independent, free spirit, and I got on with it. But that did mean that there was no trust going from me out to anybody else because I was broken at that point. So most people come to see me because of their sexual abuse. I didn't have that happening to me. Instead, I had maternal abuse. Now she was intent on doing everything right, including she breastfed me until guess what? She vaccinated me at 3 months of age, and I got whooping cough from the vaccine, and so then she lost her breast milk and she got whooping cough, and it didn't end well. And possibly that's when she got her prolapsed bladder with all of that coughing, because they managed to prolapse her bladder really well. I've never thought of that, but that'll be the trajectory of how that happened. So that's how come she wished she'd never had me, because from me, she had the prolapsed
Pregnant.
uterus that needed to have. So we need to go and investigate our own mothers' and grandmothers' stories when we're pregnant, and that's part of what's not going on. And here's me at 64, just going, wait there. That would be the connection. It wouldn't have been the whooping cough. It would have been the fact that they had her compromised for that long, pushing with pethidine. So I got my fair share of let's shut this vehicle down with all of that pethidine. Till it, see, they weren't doing epidurals, they didn't exist, and so they were going to use forceps. So they went and turned me around and hauled me out. She didn't have a stitch, a tear, a graze, a cut, nothing. Okay?
Not a stitch.
Not a stitch, nothing. I had Keelan's rotation without a stitch, a care, a t tear, a graze, a cut as well. That's Catherine. I redid my daughter as myself for my mother. And I'm here saying I've got too many maternal universities that I've graduated from. Each one of my babies had another story for me to have to unlock. Okay, so there we go back to my mother. She, as a good nurse, born in 25, goes to the
hair. I can't believe I'm sitting here
listening to the bear. And she gets my her chart, and she starts shrieking because she thinks I'm dead, and they haven't thought to tell her yet. So I meet my mother in that state. She breastfed me. So when people are telling me about how hard it is to breastfeed, I think, you don't want to be talking to me, because I had a baby dying in isolation and intensive care with no milk, and I still fed her.
Mm-hmm.
I've got runs on the board with all sorts of things that you just don't want to know about, except if somebody comes in with this sort of problem, I've got an answer. And okay, it's off left field and it's against what everybody else is saying. Well, what you're doing is not working. So shall we just go with what I know is probably going to, because I'm going to follow nature, and you're nowhere near where you should be at the moment. So there was my mother doing everything right. You know, she had the book. So eventually, at 4:45 on Saturday morning, I finally was dragged out of my mother. She went to labour on the Thursday after dinner. And I was there all of that time, so they could all be trained up. Now, I don't know whose leg they're pulling. So then she couldn't leave the house because the uterus had fallen totally on the bladder. Of course, that's why I'm doing the belly work that I do now loosely, and I'm talking about the suspensory ligament all the time, because we've got a whole epidemic, and the tsunami's getting worse because these men don't even know how to let the wives take over. Look, the older women know what to do with birth. Look, love, you'll be all right. So I am the mother's midwife. I don't care who's playing with the lower body. If I can sort out her heart and her head, then it will be okay. But they are busy damaging that whilst waiting for the end result, which is not going to end well because they've created it and they can't even see that. So my mother went on to have a perfect textbook birth for my sister. It was perfect textbook. It was absolutely beautiful. Which is a good thing, because the next one, the doctor isn't there. So the nurse's job is to keep the baby in the birth canal until he does get there. How much brain damage do you think was going on in the world on account of that? So there's mum pushing, and there's somebody pushing against the baby because he doesn't get a fee unless he's in the room when the baby comes. Right. So when we talk about birth is dangerous, it was back then because of the damn fool things they were doing, thinking that they knew better. Now, no midwife, even in a drunk stupor, would be doing that. Yeah. That's beyond redemption. Mm-hmm. So, you know, my sister, there was a 5-minute second stage until there wasn't. You know, there was no pushing, no nothing. Bam, you're coming out. No, you're not. Nurse's hand.
Mm-hmm.
So mum was a great beginning for me, wasn't she? There was me. And then she had the perfect birth. And then she had the one that would have been a perfect birth, but the doctor got in the way. So for the rest of her life, she was damaged because of my birth. And so she had to go and get a ring inserted by the doctor and then taken out when she bled and put back in again. So she had a very intimate relationship with that GP all of his life and her life, because they were doing this every month. Now, this is beyond a joke. That's why I do the work that I do, because the ring was up inside there to keep the bladder off the uterus so she could live a life. So she didn't get the Manchester repair done because she was desperate to have more babies until nearly menopause. And then that was another whole series of catastrophes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right. I know it's right, because I went in thinking I was getting a Manchester repair, and thank God that I'd done so much amazing work with my own body, because I knew I was going to have Catherine around, who was at that stage 6, I think, and was screaming all the time because she'd been vaccinated and she had temporal lobe epilepsy and she was mad as, on top of everything else that had happened prior to that. And so I had to carry her night and day, and I was going to come out of an operation and have to carry her again. So because of the obstetric accidents that have happened to this vehicle on account of the safe hospital births that I've had, I had to go and get fixed. And I chose to go and get this done because it was really quite bad and they didn't fix what I wanted them to, which was my prolapse. So I know about these things. They were fixing the internal hernias, the cystic seal and the rectus seal. I mean, it needed fixing. I didn't have a fistula, but I mean, not really. They'd done some damn stupid things to me while I was birthing babies in hospital, which wouldn't have happened had I not been there. So they can't pull my uterus down So they figure it's minding its own business. So they fixed everything else they fixed and left that there, which meant I didn't get meshed. Thank God for that. I saved my life again, because I wouldn't be doing perineal steaming, because I wouldn't be allowed to. Anyway, so then I went and had another baby after that, because I was never intending to have a baby, and there he is, he's 24. And that's the cesarean that I had. So I needed to have that. So, you know, here we have a rundown of maternity. And in the middle of all of that, I now have answers for people and go, you don't want to go down that road. Because just for the hell of it, I've had a pudendal block as well. And you probably don't know what one of them is, and you don't want to know. It's a very large needle going up through your vagina to anaesthetise your spinal cord at the base of your spine. Most painful thing that's ever happened to me. Why? Because he was going to cut through to my anus, which he did. The baby was almost on show. They could have just got me up instead of having me doing up, you know, supported squatting, and then I would have had the baby. But oh no, let's go back to the anus, shall we? So I know all sorts of things that can go wrong because I've had it happen. And they weren't giving us painkillers after the event with all those stitches. It was one stitch, took them 3/4 of an hour to go all through the different layers. He did a very good job. That's not the point. The point is sex still hurt 3 years later. Never mind. So there I am in childbirth education at the hospital at Boothville when I'm pregnant with 35-year-old, and the male doctor gets up and says, you'll be right after 6 weeks having had an episiotomy. I looked at him and I thought, well, I won't be Heather and say, shall we split your penis from one side to the other, stitch it up and tell you you'll be fine in another 6 weeks, because guess what? It's a lie. And you're not told what to do, but we weren't packing ourselves in ice. This is how to sort out a perineum that's upset. It's what they used to do. Well, you'd be better off with hot compresses. Anyway,
would you use hot compress for vaginal stitches as well?
Going to tell you. So this is what should be happening. No ice anywhere, ever. Not on the breasts. Nowhere. Okay, you're putting that on because of engorged. Yes. And what's breast milk? Blood. It changes colour from red to white in your breast. So they're drinking your blood. Who knew? I didn't until Yvonne pointed that out. Anyway, how do you stop flow of blood? You put cold on it. Hello, now we've got mastitis. Stupid. Anyway, so invariably I've got to start here. But now we've got the stitches. I've had them, thank you. I know about them. And I know about the cesarean ones too, because I've done both. And I've had a Keelan's rotation, like my mother, without stitches, 8.5-pound baby. I was a pound bigger than her. Me. Okay, no problem. Because I'd been doing perineal massage, which is how I got the OP baby in the first place, because I was leaning right up, you know, like, that's another conversation. So the point that I'm trying to make here is this: if we just get out of our own way and do what feels good, we wouldn't be running into these problems. And so this is what the old nurse has got you to do. On the subject of the old nurses, unfortunately, you've had a baby, they come round and they go whack as hard as they can on your belly. So that was the beginning of my prolapse stories. I'd lost a litre, they hadn't replaced it, over a litre. They had the butterfly clipping, got busy at Byron Bay Hospital, forgot about me. Put me on a potty thing, a bedpan, left me, I fainted. I'd lost over a litre of blood. I was a vegan, macrobiotic. I didn't have enough anything going on in my body. They picked me up off that, chose not to give me the blood. I was stitched from stem to stern down there. So when it got too painful, and I learned really quickly, this is how you pee when you've got stitches,
yeah,
with your bum in the air. I think we all work that out. It burns too much. And so we're peeing so it's going forwards, not backwards. And then if it all got too much, what we did was we filled the bath if there was no one in it. We had a sitz bath and they had a great big bag of salt. Mm-hmm. And you put a cup of salt in that and you sat in there. And then you very cautiously dabbed yourself dry, and they'd already gotten you the heat lamp. And so then comes round the curtains, and then comes the heat lamp with our legs spread until that's dried up enough, and then we go about our business, and it's no good again, do it again. That's how we got fixed. This is about as opposite as you can get.
Hospital, I actually don't remember the heat lamp.
When they gave me mine in hospital,
Well,
I had just asked straight after my stitches, they put ice straight in there, and I said to Luke, I was not feeling great at the time. I was in so much pain, I hadn't even registered. And when I realised, I was like, Heather's gonna go off, get it out. We're in hospital and Lucas took it out. I was like, Heather's gonna kill me. And I didn't even know they'd put it in there. But I can't remember how I was lucky in that, lucky and unlucky. Mine went up my, what's it called?
Oh, you were going up towards the clitoris.
Mine tore right across my clitoris. I have to show you a photo. It's it's very gory.
Please, 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 because I need to know
so
these
mine
things.
Went all the way up the side and then completely across my clitoris. So it was stitched, it was, Will couldn't believe it.
I didn't know this.
Yeah, it was crazy. It was so painful.
I didn't know this.
It was way more painful than my cesarean.
You really needed to have been doing perineal steaming before you had this happen.
Yeah, I know. I really wanted to get steaming done. I really, really wanted to. And but yeah, it was real. But for me, what I made a just conscious decision, like after I, you know, Will said that it would take, you know, however long.
Will being the obstetrician. Yeah.
However long it was going to take to heal. Lucas was like, babe, like, what are you going to do? It's your clitoris.
Yeah, no, this is a sexual
and
playground.
And I said to him, I said, it is going to be the new improved, like, it's going to be even better than before. And I just, that's all I could think of. That's all
energy follows thought.
That's all I thought about the whole time.
It's fine.
It's fine, just in case you're wondering. Everything's all fine.
Yeah, well our sexual organ is our clitoris. This is not the vagina. The vagina is a sheath. That is the Latin word for sheath. For the sword, okay? It's got nothing to do with us. It doesn't have nerve endings in there. If it did, how would we birth?
Will thinks it's because I birthed, because I was on all fours the whole time, and then right at the end...
I try and get everybody off all fours. I don't think that's a safe position to have a baby in.
I
because I've seen
but
so
you
many
be happy
more
with how I
I've
either.
Seen so many tears with people on all fours. It just doesn't work for a lot.
I couldn't even do it, but I ended up on the bed like this. I couldn't... I felt like I couldn't do it anymore.
Hey, listen,
Jenny had my leg held up in the air.
Okay, so hang on. So you were on left. You were doing left lateral.
I was on this side with my leg up in the air, and
Excuse me. Bad idea. You should have been doing left lateral because I had my second one left lateral, and it was brilliant. I didn't tear. You know, like that really bad episiotomy. No problem at all. But that's because you're on the wrong side.
I had Lucas all around my head, so he was, and I was like holding onto him for dear life.
Yes, I've been that position with other people supporting their births.
And I was like clinging him around my
head.
Yeah,
you can't breathe yourself. It's like that. You're the safety.
Yeah, I was like literally like pouring him, and then Jenny had my leg up in the air, and that's how it happened. Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
there are solutions for all of this. So what could have happened
is
you could have had the negative ion pads with the strips on top of any dressings, and that would have helped to keep it dry. Actually,
after?
Yeah, immediately after you need it dry, and that would have helped.
Have the ion strips after.
Well, that's probably
you
why.
You gave them to
yes,
me. You came to my house 2 days after the birth.
Of course I did, yes.
And you gave me a present of a bag of them.
Mm.
Yeah, so I used them. So I had them.
Oh, that's probably why it's a bit better than it otherwise would have been.
It healed really well. It was extremely painful for 2 weeks, I think. And then it settled down. It was probably painful.
How did I miss the story when I came?
Well, maybe just, I don't know. I was so happy that I had Matilda. But I don't think, yeah.
Well, I missed that part.
And look at your first birthday with the yellow and...
Yeah, I thought that when I came in here, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, Matilda's first birthday was such an emotional, in a good way, thing for me. It felt like it was an amazingly overwhelming, I was very empowered and proud, and it was the best day of my life, not because it was her birthday.
But because far you'd come with it all.
Yeah, and as a family, in myself, you know, I had postnatal depression after Matilda, and I'd gotten past, you know, everything, and yeah, the way we were as a family... Everything just I couldn't believe, and all the feelings and emotions of what the lead up of the labor I had it the whole month leading up to her birthday. I felt like it was happening, but it was beautiful. It was raw, but it was beautiful. It was really special.
And you were allowed.
I looked at my photos every day. Jenny gave me.
You were allowed to flow.
I did. Yeah, and everything was yellow.
And she's in yellow too.
I am today.
When I came last time, I was all in yellow, but I've got work photos today, and I had to wear black.
Right, so the point I'm making here is that we don't forget what happened when we were in that state of being.
No,
we
don't.
Nurturing life, giving life. And we are so primal then. And if somebody messes us up then, it does us in for the rest of our lives because it's all held in our body.
Yeah.
And it's not going anywhere until we've got the courage to undo it.
Yeah,
which is what had to happen for you for that scar in order to be and able to birth it all.
You know, I'll tell you something that I which is why I believe that I'm pregnant now. Lucas and I had come a long way. You know where we were at when I was pregnant with Matilda. Mm. And to be here, when I left 2 weeks ago, I nearly cried the whole way home, happiness of just feeling how different I am with my husband, with myself, to how I was when I came here.
And you came here into an impromptu pregnant mothers group.
Yeah, that was lovely. That was really nice. But it felt nice to be where I was at within myself. And then to think, to reflect back to at this time of my pregnancy with Matilda, where I was at was, you know, it was worlds apart. And what was I going to say? I got distracted then. I was going to tell you something about...
It was really special about the scar.
No.
Why you think you got pregnant?
Oh, yeah. In November, I got my period. For the first time, I think in maybe October, and then I got it again in November, and I got angry. Like, I had a bad day, and Lucas was rushing around doing this stuff, and I got pissed off that I got my period. And then I had this moment where I got this slap across my face. I was like, what are you doing? Like, you should be honouring this. And I said to Lucas, you need to take the kids, you need to walk away, and I'll finish it when you come back.
Hold that thought. I remember that day.
Could you please pass me a nut?
And I remember that day too.
Yeah, I told you all about it. I feel so. I should find my photo.
You actually gave yourself a bath and lots of stuff, hey?
Yeah. Well, I did a bath and I did painting.
Mm-hmm.
Red painting. And Darcy called it my full moon day.
Mm-hmm.
Why is this not working?
So that was husband who decided he would do a different thing, and so that's what we've got. Husband trying to see if my phone's working three different ways. So
where are you, Heather?
No, he knows where I am. We've been trying to fix the phone. It's not been working.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing about all of this is if it's actually an informal maternal adventure that we need to share, because that then has helped Rose listening.
Yeah.
It's an amazing. I actually went to a clairvoyant ages ago, and she actually said to me, go back to your birth. And it was like...
Your own birth, your mother birthing you?
Probably. My mum can't remember anything, so she's...
Oh, was she one of the Twilight Sleep women?
Possibly.
What year were you born?
65.
No, they weren't doing it then.
Okay. But she said she can't remember anything, so let's
block it
out. 61.
Let's block it out.
Yeah, and I know I've often talked to my mum about this. I think I've said to you before.
Yeah.
61, 63, 65, 66, and 69 was when mum had five children. She's a broken woman. I'm trying to help her and trying to help myself in the same respect, but. It's a challenge, but I'm not fighting for it either. It's just sometimes having that wisdom, you know. It's like what you're saying earlier about, like, if we are broken, then, you know, what can we fix in ourselves?
Well, we're actually not broken so much as we've been given a gift which we have chosen to not unpack. What does it mean to you that X, Y, Z happened? And if we can actually go with that, that then opens a different conversation. And that's how I've written all of my ebooks around pregnancy. It's like, this is this person's story, because we need to understand that through the story telling, that's the only way humans really learn.
Mm-hmm.
Not numbers, and it's storytelling, because that makes an impact, because it speaks to us. And that's how. And that's how we got here, through oral tradition. And it was done, so it didn't go the Chinese whisper. It's exactly coming down now as it would have
10,000 years ago if people were doing that then. You know, like it's always going to be the same. And it's always told the same way. And, and that's how we've lost this, going back to the little girls. They think they can go online and anybody who's gotten their SEO up is going to be getting top. Well,
you just made me think of something too, like my friend calls herself a storyteller and she writes this beautiful stuff and yet she has no real connections with anybody in her life because she's actually not talking and she's not being authentic. And it's amazing how, you know, as I was saying a couple of weeks ago when I was here, when Rose come, you know, when Rose and I talk, it's that real honest connection and, yeah, and storytelling. It makes such a big difference.
And a lot of people are on the computer, and they're happy with that. And it's like
disconnection.
What I say to people, you know, with the journaling, you know, with actually picking up a pen and putting a paper.
Having a conversation with yourself is what that is about.
Yeah.
Well, people aren't doing that. They want to have their shell. Everybody. You're going to think I'm amazing because look what I just did. We can't keep living that show alive.
And like they're on so many forums about everything.
Yes, well, they could just go off and take a walk down the path, see? So the clinic's got my little rainforest down there for the simple reason that we've got to get reconnected. And yes, that is going to get in your way. That's right. You're going to have to brush it out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
The fact is we actually are part of nature. And so the little girls who come in here with their pregnancies wanting to tell me which way's up, I think, well, shame about your child because you can't do that with your child. So you're going to have to go through stuff. Now, if you stay with me, I'll be really nice about it, but you will have to change because you can't stay where you are and life hasn't presented you with the opportunities to make a difference. And so birth is going to do that. Pregnancy is going to do that. Why do you think we've got all these women killing themselves? It's the largest cause of death. It's called late maternal death. That means in the year after she's had the baby.
Postnatal depression.
No, she kills herself. And so it's the largest cause of death for women postnatally is they kill themselves. So who cares? It's not even out there. People don't even know this is the case. Well, harming the baby is one thing, but killing yourself is another. And I'm not disputing that there's a problem. So what I need to do when people come in here is try and get them on the same page as nature would have, which means they've got to clear their head and go off and find wherever they're going to feel safe. And unfortunately,
do you find that they have a challenge though? Like they leave here and then they talk and then it's like, oh, come on.
Yes,
like,
they've got a big challenge.
My family's stopped because they know that I won't, that I am who I am now, and that's just the way it's going to be. But in the beginning, that, you know, unlucky Lucas has met you. My mum wants to meet you. And my mum doesn't, you know, in the beginning, when I first met Heather, I'd tell mum about, actually lied to mum about.
Yeah, yeah, you were here for so long and your poor mother would have thought, I think she told her she was going to see a doctor or something.
Yeah.
Now, look, I've got my gadget here. You're 32.4 and you're 30 and you're 2.5 degrees warmer. So that's where the cup's been?
Yeah.
But I'm not doing the moxa thing because I'm allergic to it. So
okay.
My point with everybody is you've got to go and find somebody who's done it before successfully, or they've done it and they've come out the other side, done the whole baby thing and breastfeeding. And that, you know, you've got to go and find your own mentor on this.
Yeah.
And it ain't somebody who's got what I call a used uterus, because they're the ones who are on the forums going, look at me, aren't I clever? And I'm going, not really, because this is a lineage thing. And this is what's happened with the computing age. We've lost this ability to go, I'll go and ask those who know. And those who know are not the doctors and they're not online. They're the older women who might have had their 10 or 12 children. So that's why I go to the community Galore Vale in New Zealand. And they all have had at least 10 children. And that's how come.
And
that's based on the South Island and the West Coast, Lake Haupiri. That's where I live now.
I think I actually come across something. I don't even know what I was Googling.
Mm.
But I've come across something over in New Zealand that is totally out there.
Yeah, well, some think I am. And all I'm doing is following the program. Hey, this is what has always happened. This is what works, and you're gone so
anyone
far away from it.
Anyone who will be like, yep, you're
Do you know Heather? Because like on HLN, like I think Mashenka's like, she's fierce, but she's amazing. I'm like, I know Heather. It's all good.
Well, I try not to be in your face, but it's a case of you're going in the wrong direction.
It's not that you're in your face. It's you're fierce in your pursuit of helping people, you know.
It's
and
your passion.
That's confronting for some people. And
yeah, so if people want to go down the road of the Don't Know Brigade, who don't know what's going on, and we'll watchfully wait and we'll freak you out and we'll scan babies.
And anyway.
I hope they don't.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be too much of a trial for me and too much of a trial for them.
Yeah, you've got it.
And they need to go to where they feel safe. And if they don't feel safe with somebody who's telling them the truth, they'll find a different truth and they'll eventually go 30 years later, I remember somebody telling me that before. And so this is where I can say that. Yeah, well, I can too. And all of the people that we have come before us didn't listen when they were younger as well. Yeah. But we know, now we're older, that eventually they will come full circle and they will remember, as you've just said, I remember that stuff. And so I just keep on doing what I'm doing. And the women who come in here, who I'm calling girls, need to become women.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is maiden to mother. That is the initiation, and our culture is allowing people to get cut. Mm. And when Britney Spears had her first cesarean, I said to whoever was around, I said, look out, there's trouble. Because she didn't become a mum. Mm. She became a Barbie doll with little Barbie dolls. Now, that's not going to work, and that's what everybody's being given. So they are not fierce mothers. The children are not being looked after, and their lives are somewhat more fake than they would be if they had to go through the experience.
Mm.
And to go through the experience of having to heal from the terrible things that have happened to your body twice now is beyond a joke.
Yeah.
But at least you've found somebody who can assist you to find yourself in that process.
Yeah, I feel grateful for it all, to be honest. You know, I'm at a point now where I'm celebrating things. I think this is where I had this moment a few months ago when I had my period where I realised, why am I fighting this? And I went home and I asked Lucas to take the kids, and he was out whinging and sulking because it was his time to play guitar, and I just shut him out and shut it all out, drew a bath. But then I got up and I was like, I need flowers, I need my crystals, I need to just get...
So what we have here is somebody doing her own ceremony.
Yeah. And
honouring her own bleeding.
I took a photo and I'll send it to you so you can see. And then I just started thinking and reading and thinking about, you know, full moons and this and that, and then Darcy came into me and Darcy's like, what are you doing, mummy? And I said, it's mummy's full moon time and I'm just going to spend some time here. She can come and you can talk to me, but I'm going to be here. This is really special for me. And he came and he brought in a paintbrush, and he was painting with red paint. And so I got out of the bath and went and just painted with him with red paint, and then he went off, and then I just kept painting and painting and painting. And I'd made this decision that pregnancy that I wasn't going to just get rid of my blood. I was going to put it on the tree that Matilda's placenta was planted under. So then that afternoon I took all my blood from the day and poured it onto the tree. And then I took my painting and thought about all the issues that I had with the birth and this and that. And I burnt them and put them at the tree with the ash, with the blood. And coincidentally, a month later... I'm pregnant. So it's just amazing how for the first time I actually felt like I honoured myself as a woman. And funnily, within weeks, my relationship changed with myself, my husband, my family, and everything just became very apparent. And then, you know, Matilda's birthday was a few weeks later after that, and everything's just pretty much been, yeah, pretty eye-opening since then.
And when we allow life to flow, it does.
Mm.
And when we stop it because we think we know better, we want to control and all of that, well, we get what we've got, which makes life really dangerous, which means everybody's in the fear instead of in the love.
And then you wanted to take control and say that
they're
all babies.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, I did.
And then we'll see about
there.
That.
She was already there.
I did the same with the last one. So there was me teaching pregnancy to acupuncturists from around Australia at the beginning of 94, and I was just so grateful. You know, like I was never going to do this again. I'd been humming and harrowing for ages, you know, the woman who's never going to have kids. I'm like, that's it, I'm never going to do this again. And I was really, really happy I'd finally resolved that. This is from the woman who really was going to get a tubes tied. And so I was really grateful that I'd finally
gone past that, and I was now in a different phase of my life. And here I am, and here I am teaching these acupuncturists, and I, the whole time I'm just so grateful I'm never going to do that. I was already pregnant.
So I was.
Lucas and I are so in love. We're having lots of sex. We're going to start going on dinner dates. Kids are sleeping. Everything's going really well. And I was like, and I sat him down and I said, you know, I don't want to go through all that again. You know, I feel like I've, you know, been reborn, and I'm so happy. And I was already pregnant.
And he, even
his... But then I was such, it was such a beautiful surprise.
Even his reaction to that, you know...
He wasn't ready.
The communication between the two of you, like, I mean, I wasn't there, but what you talked about afterwards was really lovely, because some people can really react, be that really...
It's a gift.
Yes, and he took it okay, not that he was really...
Yeah, he did take it okay, because he could see how serious I was, because I was, like, pointing and yelling and swearing. Because I'd been asking him for weeks, please get a vasectomy, please, because I wasn't going on the pill, I was like, I'm not joking anymore, like, I'm not having sex with you until you get this, like, I'm
And then, did you know about the 3 months after that, that they're still fertile?
No, I didn't.
Oh.
He would have gone.
No, I get that, but anyway. Yeah, but the point is that you can't just go, now we're fixed, we're fine. No, there's at least 3 months where you're still fertile.
He wouldn't have gone and got it, I'm sure of it. He thinks, he says he is now, though.
That's what you were really adamant about, too.
But I'm so grateful that he didn't, and because deep down I did want to have more. I was fearful of going through pregnancy.
Understandably, given what's happened so far.
But I feel so relaxed about that part of it now. I feel, I don't know, I just do.
But that's because you honoured your bleeding, and that's my byline. And
you honoured so much.
Oh, it was so beautiful. And the way Darcy's such a beautiful spirit, and the way he came in and was really interested. And I don't hide anything from my kids. Like, I tell Darcy,
well, this is mummy
bleeding.
He knows
what a period is. Like, he thinks, I called it a full moon. Because I didn't want him going to school talking about periods and them coming home and, you know. Yeah. And I just said it was, you know, mummy's full moon. And I told him that, you know, my blood was going on the tree, because Lucas thinks it's disgusting. He's past it now. But when we first discussed placentas and stuff, he was mortified. This is coming from a man who wasn't even hugged by his mum growing up, you know. So, you know, it's for him. He thinks it's... And I said, Dusty's not going to be that way. Dusty's going to think that this is normal. This is natural. Like... It's important to me that he doesn't look at his wife and balk at blood, or, you know, it's that he gets it. And they came and sat at the tree with me and watered it and put the blood there, and well, it was pretty special.
I think so. and we need so much more of that.
Until his placenta's there, you know, like, so it's a special place for me.
It's
and
a connection.
Darcy knows. Darcy was there when we put the placenta in, and he, you know, we talked to him about what it is, and he actually knows that he came from my stomach and Matilda came from my vagina, and he understands the difference, and he talks about it every day now that I'm pregnant.
Well, he will. It's a bit topical.
Yeah. But he's knowing. Like, he's... I don't know. He's just...
He's here to help.